We're talking about the health of our bald eagle population here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Bald eagles are facing a new threat, and researchers have found nearly a third are infected with a newly identified virus. And scientists say this virus may have a role in Wisconsin River Eagle Syndrome, which was first described more than two decades ago. But a clear link hasn't been fully established. So what questions do you have about this syndrome and the new virus? Have you ever spotted a bald eagle that looks injured or sick? What did you do? We're at 800-642-1234. Tony Goldberg is an epidemiology professor at UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine. He's also associate director for research at the university's Global Health Institute. Tony, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
Well, take us back to the 1990s when scientists first found Wisconsin River Eagle Syndrome. How does that play into what you just first now discovered about this new virus?
Yeah, well, about two decades ago, scientists noted that eagles were dying, in Wisconsin mainly, of what we can call a mystery disease. They were found sort of staggering around, vomiting, not getting their bearings, and inevitably they'd be taken into a clinic or a wildlife rehabilitator and they would die or have to be euthanized. So for many years, scientists here at UW-Madison at the National Wildlife Health Center, which is also in Madison, were trying very hard to find the cause, but never did. So this was an example of a disease that sort of went on the shelf. We didn't really know what was causing it. We kept the case records and samples, and it just sat there for a while. So about 4 years ago, my colleagues at the Wildlife Health Center and I decided to try some new fancy techniques to get at this syndrome, specifically virus hunting. So we thought...
You went virus hunting.
Virus hunting. We went virus hunting. That's right. Which is a lot of fun, actually. It's discovering things about the microbial world that you didn't know existed. But it's made possible by new technologies in DNA sequencing. So there was a suspicion this might have something to do with the virus. We took archived tissues from the National Wildlife Health Center and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and we subjected them to this broad-spectrum virus hunting protocol that my lab and several others do. And we discovered a surprising new virus, and we called it bald eagle hepatovirus. That indicates the genus of viruses that it's in. There's a lot of interesting things about it, but one of the things that struck us right away is that this is actually a relative of the human hepatitis C virus, which was suggestive because hepatitis C, as its name suggests, causes hepatitis in humans, liver damage, mm-hmm. and we were seeing liver damage in these eagles. So that was telling. We also found that eagles living in Wisconsin were much more likely to have this virus than eagles living elsewhere, and that eagles living in Wisconsin near the Wisconsin River were even more likely to have this virus. So things were sort of mounting up. We're starting to really get excited. We're popping the champagne corks, thinking, wow, we've solved Wisconsin River Eagle Syndrome. And then, as scientists tend to do, we looked more carefully and made things more complicated.
And you have to retrace your steps and try again. And when did it get more complicated? What did you find?
Well, you know, it would be nice, and I deal with a lot of wildlife disease issues. It would be very nice if every sick animal had a virus or a bacterium and every healthy animal did not.
create such order in our universe.
I know. Wouldn't it be what a wonderful world it would be. But that doesn't happen. So what we found is that there were plenty of eagles that had this virus that were not in Wisconsin and had not died, apparently, of this virus or this mystery disease syndrome. We found eagles infected as far away as the states of Florida and Washington and all states in between. And about a third of the eagles in the United States that we tested, it was about 40 to 50 eagles, had this virus. So that started to worry us because it's not unusual for there to be normal viruses circulating in wildlife. So did we find the cause of Wisconsin River Eagle Syndrome, or did we find just some normal old eagle virus that we didn't know existed? So that's kind of where we are right now. We see these tantalizing associations. You know, eagles in Wisconsin more likely to have it. Eagles you know, the virus bears some resemblance to other viruses that cause similar disease in people, but it's not a clear-cut story. So we're left with several possibilities. You know, maybe this virus causes the syndrome, but not in all cases. Maybe the virus has nothing at all to do with the syndrome, or maybe it interacts with other factors to cause the syndrome under specific circumstances.
I think you've covered all your bases of possibilities.
Yeah, typical scientist answer, right? It could be anything.
Talking with Tony Goldberg, who is a professor of epidemiology at UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine. He's telling us about a previously unknown virus affecting nearly a third of our country's bald eagle population. You can join in. Have you ever spotted a bald eagle that looked injured or sick? What did you do? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. When you look at these eagles who are infected by this newly discovered virus, what are the symptoms or what are you seeing in these eagles?
Yeah, good question. Well, remember, there's two things we're talking about here, the virus and the disease. Eagles that have this disease, Wisconsin River Eagle Syndrome, are really, really sick. They are staggering. They're vomiting. They have seizures sometimes, although it doesn't look like they're starving. They're typically in good body condition, which means whatever is affecting them is hitting them pretty hard and pretty fast. So that's what we see with the syndrome. With the virus, we're not sure. So we see eagles with this syndrome that have the virus, and we see eagles that have died of other causes also with the virus. But one thing that's interesting is that all the eagles that we've been able to examine, of course, are dead because otherwise they'd be flying around and we couldn't examine them. So why did they suffer the fates that they did? So some of the – what people may not realize is that eagles living near humans in North America are pretty persecuted. They lead hard lives. They may get electrocuted on electric wires. They may get poisoned inadvertently or on purpose. People sometimes shoot them. Or they may scavenge on the side of a road and get hit by a car. So we had samples of those types of eagles to analyze. And we started to wonder, well, are those really normal eagles? Or could they have been weakened by something that then made them have to perch on an electric wire or not be able to fly away from somebody with a shotgun or scavenge roadkill and put themselves at risk?
So, like finding the perfect subject of eagle is very difficult for you.
Well, yeah, it's not common to sort of get samples from perfectly healthy, wonderful eagles that we see flying beautifully around in the sky. You know, the ones that come into agencies like the DNR and the National Wildlife Health Center are dead for a reason.
They've been compromised by something or someone.
That's a possibility, yes. So we're wondering, could that be the case here? Could there be diseases or infections like this new virus we found that could weaken eagles? We really don't know. So that's the next step. Is to look more broadly at healthy eagles that are not coming in because they've had accidents or other things that have killed them.
How common is it for you to be able to study a healthy eagle?
It's not that common, as you can imagine. It's not something you can walk out your back door and sort of grab onto. But there are people who do it. So we are, of course, as a country, very interested in the bald eagle as an animal, as the symbol of our nation. So there are groups around North America who have studies of bald eagles that are healthy for other purposes. Maybe they're studying behavior or diet or toxins, things like that. So we're hoping to collaborate with groups like that to add infectious disease to the list of things that they're studying.
Bald eagles were removed from the endangered species list, as you know, in 2007. Could this new virus have a negative impact on population numbers at all?
Another good question. We have no evidence right now that this virus causes any risk to the population of bald eagles in America. We're not saying it doesn't, of course, because we're scientists and we never say anything 100% one way or the other. But we know that eagle populations are rebounding. Wisconsin is a great place to be an eagle. If I were an eagle, I would probably want to live in Wisconsin because we have lots of great habitat and the Wisconsin River is ice-free in the wintertime, so there's lots of fish to catch. So all in all, I think our eagle population is healthy and rebounding, and it's a real victory for conservation and for the Endangered Species Act and other legislation that help protect eagles. But we also shouldn't be complacent. We don't understand all of the health and conservation threats to bald eagles, which is surprising considering how central they are to our culture, but we don't, so we can't discount it. I think this is, in a sense, we owe Rachel Carson another note of thanks because she sort of alerted us to the critical dangers of pesticides, namely DDT. And once we protected eagles from that, we now have the luxury of understanding what else causes them to suffer disease and mortality.
Oh, it was like a gateway to understanding the other things that can really damage eagles in the population.
Absolutely. Yeah. So and partially because of that, early investigations into Wisconsin River Eagle Syndrome focused really hard on toxins. You know, we're so finely attuned to thinking about toxins when we think about raptors and disease that we kind of were tunnel visioned a little bit. So this is nice because I think it opens up the realm of other possibilities.
We're talking with UW-Madison epidemiologist Tony Goldberg, who was one of the scientists who found a new virus in eagles that we're talking about. Are you a fan of watching bald eagles? When was the last time you saw one? What questions do you have about their health and well-being in Wisconsin? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to this conversation on bald eagles in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the health of bald eagles and a new virus that's impacting their population. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The bald eagle was removed from the endangered species list about a dozen years ago. There are now about 1,700 nesting pairs in our state. And scientists have found a virus in bald eagles that's related to human hepatitis C virus called BEHV. Do you remember the last time you saw a bald eagle? Where did you see it? What questions do you have about viruses affecting raptors? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tony Goldberg is an epidemiology professor at UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine, and he stays with us. Let's go to the phones now. Gary is joining us from Chippewa Falls. Hi, Gary. What's your question?
Well, good morning. My brief question was, in regards to the virus of the eagles, are you finding it in juvenile eagles? Are you finding it predominantly in more mature eagles?
Good question, yeah.
Yeah, great question, Gary. Thanks for asking. The answer is we're finding it in all ages of eagles. We looked to see if there might be a propensity for very young or very old eagles to be infected with this virus, but there isn't. It just seems to be equal across ages. And this syndrome that we're studying, bald eagle or Wisconsin Eagle River syndrome, that also doesn't seem to affect young or old eagles. It seems to hit all ages, including adult eagles in their prime. So it's a great idea because sometimes you do see diseases affecting the young and the old, but that doesn't seem to be the case in this virus or this syndrome.
Do we know how the virus spreads?
We don't, and that's a great question too. So the virus, not a lot is known about these viruses. In humans, hepatitis C is, of course, sexually transmitted or transmitted by intravenous drug use. I've rarely seen bald eagles using intravenous drugs, so I don't think we can do that. We can talk about that. But there's a lot of possibilities. They could be transmitting it directly from one eagle to another. They could be getting it from something else. So these types of viruses are known to infect lots of different wildlife, including mammals. So maybe it's something they're eating. That's another one of these questions that we really are interested in getting at.
So we're in the early stages of figuring out BEHV. You're collaborating with a lot of partners on this. What is the next step?
Yeah, so good question. The next step, well, there's a couple of next steps. We definitely want to figure out how this virus is being transmitted. We want to figure out if it's an eagle virus or if they're getting it from something else. We want to figure out if it's as common in perfectly healthy, happy eagles as in these eagles we're studying that are coming in because they've died. But most importantly, we want to know, is this virus really causing disease? It's not uncommon to find viruses in nature that are simply normal parts of the natural ecosystem. And if this is one of them, it's a very interesting virus, but it may not pose a threat at all to eagles. So that's kind of the big question we have to go at. But it's hard because, you know, there's not a lot of eagles that are going to come and volunteer for some sort of study or anything like that. We have to be creative and make inferences indirectly.
Let's take another call. Diane in Erin County. Hi, Diane. Oh, Diane's not there, but was wondering, have you heard how many eagles' nests failed this year?
Yeah, another good question. I haven't. That would be a great question for my colleagues at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. There is an eagle nest failure rate every year, and eagles are tracked to measure that, but I don't actually know what this year's statistics are.
Well, broadening out to other raptors, are bald eagles hit harder by viruses, do you know, or by diseases?
Another great question. Bald eagles are, I would say, are not hit harder than other raptors by diseases. They do have a list of diseases that affect them. And there is one virus that has taken quite a toll on raptors, and that's West Nile virus. West Nile virus, as we know, entered the United States in 1999 and spread throughout the U.S. and affects birds. But raptors are one of the birds that are really susceptible. So when the virus first came into the USA, we saw a lot of dead hawks and eagles. And there was even a case in Utah a few years ago that was investigated by the National Wildlife Health Center here in Madison of bald eagles that died of West Nile virus, not from getting bitten by mosquitoes, but by eating other birds that had West Nile virus. So they're very susceptible. In fact, West Nile virus was the number one infection on our differential diagnosis list when we started looking at the syndrome, but the birds were all negative.
Talking with Tony Goldberg, he's an epidemiology professor at UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine, and we're learning about a new virus affecting bald eagles. Let's go to Lindsay now in DeSoto. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, good morning. Tony, we'd like to invite you to DeSoto Area School District. We're right along the Mississippi River, and you can see eagles daily, either out fishing in the river, along with all the boats that we have fishermen fishing in the river. There's the eagles flying around, and we also see them, you know, flying over the countryside and alongside roads eating the roadkill you mentioned. So come on up to our school district, talk to our kids.
Open invitation.
There you go.
My question really focuses on the food source because listening to what you've been saying, there seems to be some kind of connection because in my mind, if they're eating either the fish or the roadkill or other mammals that they're able to kill and eat, they're also feeding that to their young, and that may be a reason why we're seeing this virus attack all age groups. So I'm wondering if we see this particular virus, have you seen it in any fish? Have you seen it in other mammals as well?
Thanks, Lindsay. That's a great question. And I've been to DeSoto. It's a great area. I would love to come back and watch your bald eagles. So let's talk about that. But I have not actually found this virus in any other animals because we haven't looked yet. But that is a distinct possibility. We suspect it could be in other birds, for example, maybe in fish, maybe in mammals. Eagles, as you know, if you've watched them, have a lot of interesting interactions with other species. In fact, you know, there's a famous story that Benjamin Franklin did not want the bald eagle to be the national bird of the United States because he called them a bird of bad moral character. That's right. He wanted the turkey. But eagles were a bird of bad moral character because they do this thing that eagle biologists call piracy, where they will wait until another bird catches a fish or gets a prey item, and they'll swoop in and steal it. So they don't make an honest living, according to Benjamin Franklin. But that same behavior also put them in contact with other birds, other prey items, and sometimes they fight. So you're absolutely right. Where this virus lives in nature is an open question.
The food chain certainly is something to look at and where it enters the food chain.
Absolutely.
Let's go to James now in Wabasha, Minnesota. Good morning, James.
Yes, good morning. How are you all today?
Good.
Here in Wabasha, they have the National Eagle Center, and they have a great program for both youth and adults. And you can be within a few feet of the bald eagles. They're eagles that were injured and can no longer fly, so they're called eagle ambassadors. And it's just a great place to visit. They have tours, school tours, and there's lots of information, and anybody who wants to learn about the eagles should go visit there.
Well, James, thanks so much for bringing that. And as you said earlier, there's so much good work being done to protect eagles.
Absolutely. You know, I feel a little bit guilty publishing these results because now I can't look up in the sky and see an eagle without thinking of all the viruses flying by. And I'm afraid other people will too. But we can't lose sight of the fact that these are magnificent, wonderful birds and the symbol of our nation and important to Native Americans millennia before North America was colonized by Europeans. So it's really important to appreciate eagles in their full sense, you know, for what they are, and to you know, understand that yes, we have to know the threats they face, but we also have to appreciate what they are and work to conserve them.
Well, Tony, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Tony Goldberg is an epidemiology professor at UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine, and we've been talking about a previously unknown virus affecting nearly a third of our country's bald eagle population. This conversation comes to you on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.